Well, good morning. Welcome to Bay Presbyterian Church and our worship of the living God. Do you know who we have here with us today?
Yes.
We have the Super Kids Club. And you guys always love it, so we'd like to do this every year because these kids are really something special. And we are participating with New Horizons in their Super Kids Club, and we support this group. And many of you tutor some of these children, and we try to support them financially. And this is just a wonderful, wonderful ministry that Ellen's going to tell you something about in a little bit, but not before not before next Sunday. Just kidding. You want to sing first?
No, I'll just sing.
Okay. Here, this is the executive director.
Program director,
sorry. And her name is Ellen.
Nichols.
Is that right?
Yes.
I got that one right.
You got that right.
Ellen Nichols, and we've been supporting Ellen and Bob Nichols in this good ministry for a lot of years. So, Ellen, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm standing on my toes so you can see me. It's because our super kids have gotten so big. It's so exciting to be here. And just as Pastor John said, Bay Presbyterian has been just a tremendous part of New Horizons. These kids come to us along with over 450 other kids, kindergarten through 12th grade. They come to us 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Fourth and fifth graders are with us on Friday. Juniors and seniors are with us on Friday. That's 5 days a week. And then these guys are here with us too on Sundays. That's 6 days a week that we will have kids with New Horizons mission. And these kids come to us Monday through Friday to not only do their homework, to work on remedial reading and math skills, but to have a wonderful volunteer tutor sit with them, encourage them, re-explain their schoolwork to them, help them get their homework right, and to share their faith, because you are the best testimony that there's a living God.
Amen.
You are the living testimony that Jesus Christ is alive. And that he's worth spending your life serving. That's what you can tell these kids. And we have volunteers that come every day. And the fact that they come shows young people just like this that there's hope. That they can do it. That it's worth doing their homework, which is boring. Who wants to keep doing that after being in school all day? But your presence there lets them know, yeah, it's worth it. I can do it. I didn't understand it, but you're going to help me understand it. You're making a difference in the lives of children. We have volunteers that have been with us that watched these kids when they were little tiny ones. That now, here we have Rosie, who's 18, who started with us when she was 6. She has a 4-year scholarship to college. She works for us tutoring 6th graders. And today is her debut leading the choir. We have a child right here that's been with the choir for years. 3 years. She's 7. One day she's going to be sitting there like Rosie leading the choir. Because we follow children from, I remember when these kids were not yet born, watching them, holding them when they were born because they're so cute. And now they're here with us singing. New Horizons follows kids all the way through into their adult years while they're in college. We work with them to get them college scholarships and to help them have a plan for their future and to know that with God, all things are possible. Education prepares them here, which is great. But Jesus Christ prepares them for all of eternity. And that's what we want every child that walks in our doors to know. There's a God who loves them, a Savior who died for them, And that's worth living for. And the songs are going to sing for you today in the midst of the craziness of the world. Join us, because you all know it. He's got the whole world in his hands. And then the other one is, he knows my name. So not only do we have a God who holds the world in his hands, but we have a God who's a personal Savior, and he knows your name. And like I told every one of them, he knows their names. He knows they're here today, and they're going to sing and share their message with you. Thank you so much. Rosie, it's all yours.
He's got the little baby in his hands. He's got the little baby baby in his hands. He's got the little.
Well, that was good. A few announcements this morning as we get started. First of all, Bob Powell passed away shortly before the hurricane, and we're going to have a memorial service for Bob on the 17th, which is not this coming Friday, but a week from that Friday. So I'd like to have you mark your calendars with that. I can't believe that I'm announcing this, but we're going to do the Christmas decorations 2 weeks from today. What is that? That's the 19th of November. The Hanging of the Greens, the 19th of November. Normally, we don't do it on a Sunday. We're going to do it on a Sunday afternoon this year. So we generally have 20 or 25 folks here. We'd love to have you come out and help us decorate the church for Christmas, and we appreciate that. Robin, you want to say anything about Operation Christmas Child? Thank you, Robin and Nate, for helping us with this. We appreciate it. Gordon, you have your Christmas concert coming up.
It is. It's this Thursday, and it's open to anybody. You have to have already had your reservation for dinner or for lunch. That's at 11:30. If you just want to come for the concert, that's 12:30, and it's at the First Baptist Church. And love to see people that we know in the audience. So come on out.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. That's going to be a nice afternoon there. If you are a person of the female persuasion, and if you're just getting down here and you have not received an invitation for our ladies' coffee, we want you to have an invitation to that. And so, Dory, do you want to say something about that? Okay. See, Dory, we really love to have you join us. This is not just for members. This is for anybody who might be interested. This is an annual event for us. It's a wonderful time. And the church is going to be decorated. It's going to be beautiful. And it'll be a great morning. So if you normally use envelopes and you need some for next year, then why don't you write down on that white card in the rack in front of you and just say envelopes and give us your name so we'll make sure that you got your envelopes for next year for giving. And that's it for now, so let's take a few moments to prepare our hearts for worship.
Good morning. Let's invite God's presence with our call to worship, which is from Psalm 16, and it will be on the inside of your bulletin. Let's read responsively. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. You have made known to me the paths of life.
You will fill me with your joy and presence.
The children have really set the mood for worship and praise. Let's continue that worship and praise. Would you stand? These are the days of Elijah. together.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming his flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wide in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and down in Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding like the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Our great God and Heavenly Father, we worship and praise you, for you are the one who restores righteousness. And so, God, we're here to worship you, to sing praises to your great name. Our desire is that Christ would be exalted and glorified today, and we pray that you'd move in us, with us, and among us as we seek to worship you in spirit and truth. Help us to that end, God. We make our prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who lived and died and rose again, and who, while on this earth, taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Like living stones. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession.
That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light.
This is the reading of the Word of God, Acts 20. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from the house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Holy Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me and every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care of the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arrive men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all."
If our ushers will come forward, at this time we'll continue our worship as we present to God our tithes and offerings. Let's pray together. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you have blessed us materially, so that among all the world's populations, we are certainly among the best off. But God, we will not rest in the luxury of our wealth and riches when the gospel still needs to go out. And so, God, we pray that you might take these gifts, these offerings, these tithes, and use them for the building of your church here in Southwest Florida and to the ends of the earth. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus, our strong Savior. Amen.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. blessed Redeemer, living Word, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and all will give glory and praise to the Father through Jesus. Let's do that song with Carol. Would you stand, please? The words are on the screens. Jesus' name above all names.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is one. Jesus, my Lord.
Thank you, and please be seated. Hey, Gary, could we get just a touch more juice out of this? In a few moments, we're going to have a treat that... I think we're all going to walk away saying, boy, that was awesome. Donnie's preached here several times before, and I love it every time he does. Wanted to just take a couple of minutes here because about 8 or 9 years ago, we had a fella come to our church for the first time, and then he came a second time, and it was kind of during the summer months. There weren't quite as many people here. And he sat right about where Sally is. It was in the second row. He wanted one row of buffer between me and him. He was about to discover that that would not hold up. And as I was preaching, I talking about sin. And that day, I looked at him and I said, Jim Steiger, how have you sinned this week? That was his second time here. So for those of you who are here for the first time, I just want to let you know what you're in for next time. Not really. I bring this up only because that was, I think, all of our friend Jim Steiger. And Jim Steiger had a horrible, horrible, horrible bicycle wreck yesterday. And he is on life support right now. And it was just an awful thing. And so I'm going to ask your indulgence this morning, and we're going to pray for one thing, and we're going to pray for a miracle for Jim Steiger. Failing that, this situation is pretty bleak. So why don't we just go to prayer, and I'll let you pray silently for a few moments, and then I will pray and close our time. Our great God and Heavenly Father, all of us are sobered by this because it could really be any of us. In an instant, our lives change. And it certainly did for Jim. And God, our prayer is that you would intervene in a miraculous way here this morning. Jim's family is surrounding him now, and they love him dearly, and we love the Steigers. And God, we would love to see you show up in a very big way there. We know that you're there. We know that in your providence, that this is not going to be for naught. But God, we know that failing a miraculous intervention, things do not look good. And so we would pray for that. We would pray for your miraculous intervention here. And we love Jim and Pam and pray that you would bring blessing to that family. We pray that you'd keep them in perfect peace. God, and we pray for Jim as he is lying there. We don't know what's going through his mind, but God, we pray that it would not be terror, and we pray it would not be pain. But we pray that you would draw near to him, that he would sense your presence and know that you are there and to know that you are his God. And so, God, we cling to that. We hold to that and pray your blessing. And we make our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to say one other thing that I need to say, although my timing is awful, and that is, for some of you who are just getting back, you probably haven't had a chance to notice that we've made a staff adjustment. We have hired someone to help us with women's ministries, and so I want to introduce you to Rachel Diller over here. Rachel, stand up so everybody can see you. And Rachel is she is helping with our women's ministry. She'll be there at the women's Bible study, and if you have anything. And you're of a person of the female persuasion and would like Rachel to come pray with you or encourage you, then we can arrange that. And we just appreciate her a lot. She's added something to our ministry already. So I want to introduce you to Donnie St. Germain. I met Donnie, maybe 15 years ago at a missions conference in Boca Raton. And Donnie is... he has a heart for God, and we have participated with Donnie. And Donnie has started in Haiti 127 churches, and he has nurtured another 20 to 30 churches where the pastors have come to him for encouragement and to be built up. And so that's what Donnie is. He's a church planter. And we helped start, you helped start, five of those churches. I think it's five churches with Donnie in Haiti, Kona. And I went down and I preached the dedication of two of those buildings. And Donnie was my translator. And this is what I decided. That whatever I put down on paper, it sounds awful lot better coming from Donnie's mouth. And he was my translator down there in Haiti. And man, was I preaching like nobody's business. And they had one of them at the mother church, Bombaje, in Lakai. It's televised. So that's the first time I was a televangelist. And so they had one fellow was there running the camera, and I was preaching, and he went like this. So while I was preaching, I tried to follow his instructions. And I moved over. Then he said, so then I went over here, and I was like, and then he said, I backed up, and he said, and I just gave up. And afterwards, I said, well, what was that? You're just pushing me all the way. He said, I wasn't doing that to you. I was the guy behind you. I don't know. I don't take stage direction well, but I want to introduce you to Donnie St. Germain. He's a friend and a partner in ministry with all of us, and I thank God for your good ministry, Donnie.
Thank you, Brother John, and it's a pleasure for me to be here with you this morning and also to have the opportunity to share from the word of the Lord. But also it is an opportunity to thank you for the way you have come alongside of us to plant vital base churches in Haiti, an island where many people are dying without knowing Christ. But because of you, many have come to know him. As you know, last year we had Hurricane Matthew has come. And Hurricane Matthew had destroyed 17 of our church buildings. And you have come alongside of us to help us rebuild one of the church in the city of Banban. And today that church has been rebuilt. We have rebuilt 12 of them, and there's still 5 down that we are praying that God raise the resources so that we continue to rebuild them. Thank you very much for your support. Thanks for your prayers, and a pleasure to be here with you today. As I preach, I always give a word of warning. Sometimes I change languages, and so it might be Creole or French. I will not be speaking in tongue. This morning, I would like to read from a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and is the second letter, and that was the letter that he wrote right before his death. And if we were to give a title to that text this morning, we'll call it Be Faithful to Your Call. At 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 7. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangle himself in the affairs of the everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. As I read through this text, it helps us to understand many truths. Paul, who is the author of this book, Paul had concern because he was at the point of the end of his life. One of his concerns was for the gospel. Was for the gospel that he suffered a lot for. This was the main message that he wanted to convey to Timothy. And for this reason, Paul encouraged Timothy the importance to depend upon the Holy Spirit totally. Confident of exemplary life, to live a life that will honor and exalt Christ. He encouraged him to keep what he had heard with faith and love in Christ. Paul encouraged Timothy to remain strong even among opposition. But as Paul was writing this letter, it was after the time, it was during the time of Nero, the persecution. As you know, Nero was responsible for the beginning of the Roman persecution of Christians in AD 64. And this letter was written in AD 67. So as we look at here in this text, in the chapter before, we see Paul mention two names, name of Philogelus and Hermogenes. There were two people that was strong in opposition of the message in which that he was preaching. And he also talked about Onesiphorus, who stand by Paul no matter what. And so he was encouraging Timothy that how, when opposition come, will he remain faithful? What about us today? Are we faithful to carry the message of the gospel at any cost? At work, or in our community, and beyond? But Paul gave us example of people who run away from the truth and teach a different gospel. And so this morning, he wants to remind us to be faithful to our call to preach the gospel at any cost. But Paul was at Rome when he wrote this letter, and Timothy was the pastor of the church in Ephesus, and it was in the first century. But all he wanted to remind Timothy is to remember the faith in which that he has been entrusted. The faith of his grandmother, the faith of his mother that was based on the scripture alone. So he encouraged him to remain of what he has learned and what he has convinced and what the Holy Spirit has imputed in him. So as we look at this text this morning, there are some truths. And I pray as we look at those truths together that it will help us to be strong, to endure in hardship, and to be diligent and to carry the message of the gospel that the Lord has entrusted to us. But maybe some of us ask ourselves this question: why should we be faithful to our call? But as we look at this text, because of the three truths that is revealed in this text, every one of us should be faithful to our call. The first truth, we find it in verse 1. And in verse 1, we see that Paul challenged Timothy and reminded him to be faithful because of the grace of God in Christ. The grace of God. What is grace? Grace is a favor that we don't deserve. What God has done in order for us to be called his children. For the scriptures say, we are by nature children of wrath. The scriptures say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The scriptures say, there is only a way for us to be saved is to Christ Jesus alone. As we look at, we're all born in sin. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But when we look at our lives, our intellect was corrupt. No one of us was born in knowing God. Our conscience was corrupt. Our will was only to desire to serve ourselves. Our emotion and everything about us was corrupt. If we read in the book of Romans, God gave them over because of their wickedness. But in his love, God sent his son for us. He sent his son born of a virgin. He lived like a man and suffered. God punished him for our sake. As we read in Isaiah 53, it said it's like this. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He was despised and he did not esteem it. He has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. He was smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And it was by his stripes that we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid upon his own son the iniquity of us all. None of us deserve to be called children of God, but God has made it possible when his son came and he died and he was buried and he rose again on the dead on the third day. But the power that rose him from the dead is the power that also has sealed us and declared us righteous before him on his side. And that's what he said in the scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. Now we have a new heart. We have a new relationship. Not only that we have a changed nature, but we have a new standing before God where we are declared not guilty. Now we have a new position. We are no longer slaves, but we are God's children. So we should be faithful because of the grace of God imputed in us through his son, Jesus Christ. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul reminded Timothy. But secondly, not only because of the grace of God, but we should be faithful to our call because of the truths that is revealed in this text. The second truth is the responsibility that God has entrusted to us. Not only that his grace, but he has given, he has laid out here four responsibilities in which that we have. And the first one is to teach the truth. As he reminded Timothy in verse 2, to teach the truth to faithful men. Men that are available. Men that are faithful. Men that are reliable. Men that are qualified to teach the word of truth. And to teach it with passion. Men who have a passion so that they will pass it on to others. In Ephesians 2 it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not it is of yourself, but it is a gift from God. Not as a result of our own works, so that no man should boast, but for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God has prepared in advance for us to do, so that we could walk in them." So God has called us to be his workers, to be his teachers. Sometimes after retirement, we say, it's no longer my work, it's the work of the pastors or the leaders. But as long as we are living, it is our work to be faithful, to teach, to equip, and to pass on this great message of salvation to everyone that comes our way. We should carry it as a soldier. Not only that we ought to teach it, but he said that we should suffer for the truth, endure suffering like Paul. As a soldier, the soldier never forget his duties and responsibilities. The soldiers always follow his commanding officer. And our commanding officer is Jesus Christ. Do we follow his command? Being a Christian means putting Christ first in our lives. As a good soldier follows his leader, as a good soldier fulfilled the duty required of him, as a good soldier seeks to please his commander-in-chief, so should we. Whatever we do or drink or eat, we should do it all for the glory of God. As a good soldier, let us face many trials, but let us persevere to the end by preaching the good news of salvation. A good soldier knows his master. He knows his master's voice. He knows that his master will never leave him nor forsake him, and he will do everything to please his master at any cost. In our ministry in Haiti, we have established a university, and it's called University of Jeremy. It has about 5 schools of studies, and 60% of the students, they are Catholic, raised from a very Vaudouist background, and 40% they are believers. There's a young lady that came to our school in the School of Agriculture, and from the city of Beaumont. And that young lady, her name is Joanne. And as she came to the university to study in the School of Agriculture so that she could return and work on the land that her father has. And one Sunday I was preaching at one of our church and where she attended. And that day she came to understand the gospel. And she prayed to receive Christ. Then it was the first year. Then it was time for the summer to return back home. And when she returned back home, her father was a witch doctor. And the father used to abuse her in many different ways, even sexually. So as she returned back home and the witch doctor wanted to continue to abuse his daughter, and she stood up and she said, "Father, I'm a new creature. My body is the temple of the living God. Even if you deny that you never knew me, I will never let you do this to me again." And the father took her bags and threw it outside and told her, "Go away." And she left crying, but she stood. Then she came to the school and crying, don't know where to go. And so we had a dorm. We let her stay in the dorms. And as she stays in the dorms now, she is one of the leaders that is helping the other girls growing in her faith. We have given her full scholarship so that she's to continue her studies. And this year will be in June, she will graduate with a bachelor degree in science in the agriculture field. But as we have the opening and share in orientation, and she was one of our key person that we put before the student to share her testimony. And as she shared her testimony, 15 young children, young girls that just came to the school also that day come to understand the gospel and committed their life to follow Christ. She stood firm at any cost. She stand as a soldier for her king. What about you? Do you stand faithfully? Do you take your responsibility at hand? But we see not only as a soldier, not only we ought to teach, but he said also we should be faithful in our character because of the responsibility that he entrusted to us as an athlete. An athlete follow the rules. An athlete follow the guidelines. An athlete have his eyes focus on the finish line so that she could win the prize. An athlete compete to the end. He follow and never give up. An athlete competes to win. Sometimes we forget that the Christian is in a race, that the enemy does not want us to win and finish the race. He will put many obstacles in front of us so that we will stop and stumble in our walk. As a runner in the race, let us persevere with the power and the guidelines that which God has given us. I see many today, many Christians, they don't read the scriptures any longer. But I will challenge you today, you are called to be faithful. And if you are called to be faithful as an athlete, you need to know the rules and the guidelines that is established in the word of truth. How can a young man, a young woman, keep away from you? Is by living according to the word of truth. But in order to do so, the word must be the light that guides you. The word must be the light in which that daily you are in it and studying it so that you will know your master and know it well and know the guidelines in which he has established. Do you spend time in God's word? As a family? As a man? As a personal devotion? But the challenge today for you, it's your responsibility as an athlete to spend time in the Word. the more time you spend in it, the more you will look like your master, and the more you will live to please him. But he said, not only as an athlete, but also as a farmer. A farmer work hard. Work hard so that he will see the fruit of his labor. But many of us, if we look at in our lives, do we work hard for our King? That when we leave this world and we appear before him, would he say, good and faithful servant? As a farmer, work hard, clean and prepared and study the field and plant accordingly in order to produce to full capacity. We are called here to work as a farmer. What do you do with the gospel that has been entrusted to us? Many of us say it is the job of Pastor John and the leaders. It is not us, but my friend, we all have a call. And this call is to preach the gospel, to preach the message of the gospel wherever we are, whether at home, in our communities, in our jobs, even on the golf course. We are called to faithfully fulfill our calling. We are called ourselves Christians, but we don't want to do anything with Christ's church. We call ourselves Christians, but we don't desire to be led by the Holy Spirit to control our life. And we call ourselves Christian, but we have no desire to share our faith with anyone else. But my friend, as a believer in Christ, it means we need to live according to the standard that God has implanted before us. So we should be faithful because of God's grace, but we should be faithful because of the responsibility that he has entrusted to us. But thirdly, we should be faithful because, as we read the end of the verse, it shows the faithfulness of our God. We should be faithful because the one that calls us is faithful. We should be faithful because the God that calls us is dependable. He has promised that he will never lead us nor forsake us. And as we reflect on these things, the Lord will give you insight in all the things that you do. In verse 8, as you read the end of the text, this is what it says. Remember Jesus Christ. He raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I that live. But it is Christ that lives in me. And the life I live now, I live in the flesh, but I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So remember in verse 8, it says in our text, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David, for which I'm suffering hardship even to imprison as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the God we serve. So I like the way Paul ended the chapter in chapter 4 in verse 7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. My friend, as we are going in this world, let us be faithful to our call. Let us be faithful because of the grace of God in Christ. Let us be faithful because he has challenged us and give us the responsibility to be the tool by which that carry this message. But let us be faithful because the one that calls us is faithful. He is dependable. Let me finish with this story of a young man named Leonard Dober. Leonard Dober determined that God called him was to reach slaves in the Virgin Islands. He planned to reach these men and women by selling himself as a slave and working alongside others each day while sharing Jesus' love with them. The thought of being a slave frightens him and sickens him. He dreaded the treatment he would receive. But Christ was willing to die on the cross for me, he thought. No price is too high to serve him. It was not the slave masters who were Dauber's hardest persecutors, but rather it was his fellow Christians. The Christian he's called to minister to slave and ridicule him as a fool for his plan. But Dauber will not be dissuaded. He arrived in the Virgin Island in the 1730s. He moved to a mud hut where he could work one-on-one with slaves. In just 3 years, Dauber was able to reach 30,000 converts. My friends, let us be faithful to our call, and we'll never know what God will accomplish with that. Let us pray. Quel assurance, je suis sauvé. Quel avant-goût du ciel m'est donné. Né de l'esprit baptisé de feu, créé de nouveau, je vis pour Dieu. C'est mon cantique, c'est mon histoire. Alléluia, je chante à sa gloire. Gloire, alléluia. Gloire au Sauveur, gloire éternelle, mon Rédempteur. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Be faithful to your call.
Thank you. Thank you, Donnie. Would you stand with me now, receive God's benediction? For as now unto Jesus, who is able to keep you from falling. As now unto Jesus, who is able to present you before his glorious presence, spotless and with great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, majesty, and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace. Thank you.
Christ.